So as I said, it's a fascinating reading, The Life Divine. And especially a mind which loves to understand things, it really takes us. It's a journey. Actually, it's a journey. But we'll come to, I'm not reading every paragraph, every passage, because that would then go into not years but decades. But most important points we are touching. The mystery of existence, as has been explained to us. Of course, as I said, one of the ways is that there is no mystery, there is only matter. And yes, matter is a mystery. But the interesting part is, as we read just before the break, if you probe matter, matter is the mystery from where the scientist starts. If you probe matter, you will end up with energy. Invariably. And not going into it detail, but it's evident. Like whether electron is real or not, it's doubtful. But there is an energy which is in motion. Electron is not something we can see or this thing. But by the results, we can understand there is an electron. There is something in motion. So we use the word electron. So there is energy which is forming patterns. And surely science will one day probe what is behind energy, because this energy, though it's randomly dancing, yet it's not just a random play, as we can see when we look at the long perspective that out of dust creation has come. So there is behind the random a direction, which is the property of consciousness. Consciousness is aware. Consciousness is awareness plus will, which directs. You become aware and then you direct. So there is as if a GPS tracker right inside, which is moving the energy system in a way that out of the casual, Savitri of course explains, brings out all this so beautifully. It says, out of the random footsteps of nature, you suddenly have the beauty of the orchid and the rose. So it's, I mean, anything if we pick up. So there is a consciousness, even this scientist, especially the biologist, are beginning to explore and wonder that how come, what is it that is working in unconscious? They are actually saying the same thing which our Upanishad says, Kathopanishad, Nityo Nityanam, Chetanash Chetananam, Eko Bahunam, Yuvididati Kamande, Eko Bahunam, they still don't know. But it is so true that if you look at even the most unconscious, galaxies are drifting. Even the smallest detail is so fascinating. Like one of the questions the other day, I was asking someone that speed of Earth. Earth is moving in three ways, not one way, around its own axis at so many miles per hour. Then it's rotating around the sun at 2 lakh miles per hour. Just imagine, we don't experience it. And it's also traveling in the galaxy, because it's the third thing which is the whole galaxy is in motion. So this is not just a random energy, which is, you know, when we look at the stars and the night sky and the way things are, it's not just random. Something is happening in this random motion. The moment you say something is happening in the random motion, which seems to have a direction, then immediately knowledge steps in. There is as if a knowledge inbuilt in everything. That's what the Upanishad ends up saying, Pragya Prasrato Purano. And everything, seed growing into a tree. So there is a knowledge which is there, and that knowledge implies there is consciousness and will. Consciousness means knowledge and will. Not just knowledge that, okay, this seed can become a tree. Like many of us, you know that this is possible, but we never do it. But that's not. There is, along with knowledge, a will which impels us in that direction. So this is the whole thing. Now, Shobindo takes up other aspects. And one of them is, we'll come to page 466, where he takes up the understanding which is there in the Mandukya Upanishad. So it's something very beautiful. Mandukya Upanishad is a very short Upanishad. But basically it says there is one reality, but it's fourfold. It's again the puzzle. Why this cosmos and that reality, are there two? It says not only cosmos, there is one reality which is fourfold. That's how the Mandukya Upanishad describes. So in its origin, that reality, we cannot say whether it is or is not. That's why when you take that extreme step, you end up by saying what there is one of the ghazals sung by Nusrat Fateh Ali Khan, Sufi mystic. He has said, not he is not a mystic, but he has sung. He says, "Tu ek gorak dhanda hai." You can't say you are, you can't say you are not. Because any definition, positive or negative, definition, what does the definition do? It's very easy to understand this. What does the definition do? It immediately fixes. But you cannot fix it. And now we understand even materially. The moment you say an electron is a wave or a particle, you have changed. Pure physics. If you say it's a wave, it will behave like a wave. If you say it's a particle, it will behave like a particle. So one is wondering, same with the cat in the box, Schrodinger's cat. If you say cat is there, it will not be there. It's the reverse. If you say cat is not there, you will find the cat. You cannot predict what is there. So at the end, we end up with this kind of a paradox, paradoxical. That's why many of these statements are paradoxical. So one of the Upanishads which tries to explain is Mandukya Upanishad. It says there is one reality, but in a fourfold way. In its ultimate origin, it is basically you cannot define it, cannot say anything about it. It is all and none at the same time. You can say neti neti, you can say iti iti, because there is no other reality. So this is the origin. Turiya. Then there is a luminous something which is emerging out of that reality. That becomes pragya, the superconscious. That is the superconscious. This is the luminous something of its radiance. And that radiance, which contains all the seeds of creation, many wonderful stories in our Puranas, I'm not entering, resisting the temptation. Then comes the dream state. So there is the next is all these seeds which are there in that light as possibilities, they begin to emerge. So we have the ultimate reality, and then we have the supramental, where all these seeds are there, the pragya, and then the Hiranyagarbha, the dream state, all the subtle worlds, and then you have the outer gross world. So one way of looking at it is that, well, gross world, the dream world, the causal world is not real. The only reality is that. But that reality is extending into all of it. So can we really say that it is not real? So Sri Aurobindo describes the Mandukya Upanishad. He has not used this word. This is purely my... well, I must say, because somebody will say, where has Sri Aurobindo written this? Sometimes people ask, wise people. So there is a poem of Sri Aurobindo on the cat. Four-footed Brahman. It's a cat. Kiki cat, which was there. But how does he close it? It gives us a secret, the clue. He says, whether she is a woman, a spirit, or a cat, this is the mystery I am wondering at. A master stroke. Mandukya Upanishad summarized. All these together. That's what Mandukya says. That is the origin, and all this is Brahman. But then you have the differentiation. The same one reality differentiates itself as the pragya, which holds everything together. Seeds are there. Then in the Hiranyagarbha, you have all the dream states, thought, feelings. Actually, in all of us, there is an original impulsion which we do not know. Because super conscient, we don't know. And then there is in the dream state, we have a will, something emerging in us as thoughts, as feelings. It pushes us. And finally, it pushes us towards the gross. So this is how it describes the reality. And this Sri Aurobindo brings out page 466. Because otherwise the problem with Maya and Brahman, Maya has entered into individuals, seemingly it has diluted, then there are two Brahmans. But you have to come to that one reality and what that is. It's a need, because if we don't have one reality, then it's very more challenging that there is one reality which is divine, there is this world, so how are they connected? So page 466, there are, however, two possible replies to the difficulty of if we get rid of the idea of absolute unreality and admit a qualification or compromise. So otherwise we have to end up saying that it's a mystery. But human mind was known to probe mysteries. Never tell someone don't do this. You have created a mystery. Surely he will do it. Yeah, this is an original story in Sati's story, where Sati is told by her father Daksha Prajapati, don't go beyond this boundary, because there are worshippers of Shiva. He says, don't go. They're dangerous, huh? Frightening. Like people want, don't go to ashram. They used to say, whoever goes tends to stay back. They don't come. Don't go there. So there is a mystery. So this made her even more curious. I must go. And what does she find when she goes there? She finds Shiva. That's the whole story. So a basis can be created for a subjective illusion consciousness which is yet part of being, if we accept it in the sense of the of an illusion, illusory subjective world awareness, the account of sleep and dream creation given to us in the Upanishads. So this is where this Mandukya Upanishad comes. For the affirmation there is that Brahman as self is fourfold. The self is Brahman, and all that is the Brahman, but all that is the self seen by the self in four states of its being. Now this creates a big problem. I see myself as the body. Yes, body is real in this sense. I see myself as thoughts and feelings. They are real in this sense. But ultimately I am none of this. So we end up moving in a cycle. This is a very powerful, beautiful Upanishad. But ultimately it ends up by Om is the ultimate reality. It contains all within itself. So there is the waking state. This waking state is nothing to do with waking up as enlightenment. This waking state is more to do with the modern idea of enlightenment. What is called woke. So woke is this waking. Waking into the outer. And taking it as the only reality. But there is a true waking, waking to the supreme reality. So the work is about this, the what you see and experience physically and otherwise is the only reality. Rest is all imagination. You decide what you want to do with it. Call yourself a girl or a boy. All this is your problem, nobody else. Even you can call yourself a boy in the morning and a girl in the evening. No, really, I'm not joking. Huh? There is a thing going on like that. You can call yourself a neutral gender, even goes to that extent. No, we should be aware what is happening. No, that what are you today? Teacher asks the child. The child says, I'm a tree. Okay, be the tree. He can stand and be the tree. Not in India so far. That is another way to make a khichdi. All this is Brahman. Like many people say, all life is yoga. So whatever you are doing is yoga. Now this is the frightening part of it. Anyways, the divine knows. He takes. So what is this fourfold Brahman? He says, in the pure self status, neither consciousness nor unconsciousness as we conceive it can be affirmed about Brahman. That's where neti neti, iti iti, both will work. But the moment you try to define, you have defined. Defined means limited. So you can't say it is this or not this, either ways. It's a joy to read this because it's actually the Mandukya Upanishad summarized. In the pure self status, neither consciousness nor unconsciousness, as we conceive it, can be affirmed about Brahman. It is a state of super consciousness, absorbed in its self-existence, in a self-silence or a self-ecstasy, or else it is the status of a free superconscient, containing or being everything but involved in nothing. Now, in our culture, this is told like a story. And once I heard the very horrible representation of this story. So first, the original story is that there is the Sabha of King Janak and Yagvalk. Whoever is knows the ultimate truth will carry 1,000 cows. This story is quoted by Nalnida, a very beautiful story. So who will start the debate? Who will prove that he is the best? So there is a lull. King Janak used to hold these assemblies. So Yagval gets up and tells his disciples, "Stake the cows." So they say, "You think you know the Brahman? Ultimate reality?" He says, "No, I need the cows." Simple. And no, you can't take like that. You have to prove. So everybody gets up and nobody now knows. They know Yagval can... Don't know. Yagvalk is a, by the way, very interesting character. He is the person whom his guru Vaishampayan has given the Vedic knowledge. And he questions his guru and says, "No, no, there is something else." Because he used to meditate upon that. So he gets very angry. He says, "Vomit out all the knowledge that I have given you." So Yagvalk gives away all the knowledge and walks away. He says, "I'll search." And he comes up with the Isha Upanishad, which becomes part of the Shukla Yajurveda. That's why many people don't accept even today. Because he is of that kind. So they ask him. Then ultimately Gargi stands up. Gargi says, "You answer me the question." And then she starts, we all know that question answer, perhaps, I presume, that what lights up when the sun is down? He says, "Moon." What gives the light when the moon is not there? Fire. What when the fire is also not there? The self. And when the self is not there? It's a poser, no? One of those questions. If you answer, you are caught. So, Yagvalk says, "Gargi, if you ask this question, or any more question beyond, your head will split into 1,000 pieces." Gargi understands. She has no problem. But modern feminists don't understand. They have a problem. Because she is a woman, she is asked to crush into silence. No. Because that reality is beyond questioning. Mind's conceptions. 1,000. It means it has 1,000 facets. The mind cannot handle it. It's like the 1,000 rays of the sun. She understood because she is truly wise. But our modern, they don't understand. Once somebody asked me, "There isn't it, auntie?" I said, "What shall I tell you?" Even to ask a question, you have to know at least something. So that's where comes this Upanishad. So he says that there is a luminous status of, so this is the first part, that there is something of which we cannot say self or not self or any which thing. Then there is a luminous status of sleep self, where the same something or nothing or everything, there is a luminous state which is called a sleep. Why it is called sleep? Because our consciousness cannot remain awake there. Now this is a very interesting, is a story of the mother connected with this. So if you enter into that, it's called samadhi, ultimate samadhi. If you stay there, you ultimately lose everything. You don't come back, the link is gone. But there is savikalp and nirvikalp. Nirvikalp is when you enter into that of which nothing can be said. In the beginning you come, you can't bring any, communicate anything. Then if you stay in that for 21 days or 42 days, depends on the tradition, you cannot come back. You're gone. So many people think it's the highest. No, we'll come to that. That's exclusive concentration leading to that, merge into that. So there are now, first is describing all of them. But there is also a luminous state of sleep self. It's called a sleep self because we cannot remain awake there. So there are two kinds of states of samadhi. One is when we are not aware, but still there is something which is remaining. This is the sleep self. The savikalp, you can come back from there. And there is beyond that the nirvikalp. So very broadly we can say this, not going into its details. But there is also a luminous status of sleep self, a masked consciousness, which is the origin of cosmic existence, the state of deep sleep in which yet there is the presence of an omnipotent intelligence, is the seed state of causal condition from which emerges the cosmos. So here is the causal reality. It describes so many stories, like Shiva's dance, releasing the seeds of creation. It is that dance which is creating by release. Seeds are there in that superconscient. From what is beyond that, we cannot speak about. It's like what is inside the sun, we don't know. But we can say that the rays of the sun travel all around and they create life here. This we can say. So then the cosmos emerges. This and the dream cell, which is the continent of all subtle, subjective or supraphysical experience. Now come all the gods and titans and everything. Dream state. So this is the causal state, the supramental, and apparently beyond that you cannot speak of anything. Parabrahman, whatever we want to call it. And then there is so the creator, and then there is the Hiranyagarbha, where all the gods, they come. So you see, they are also bound to ignorance. That's why those who really want to arrive at that, they have to go beyond. And there is a whole hierarchy, wonderful hierarchy. Yesterday we heard that song. Trinsha, Koti, Kantha, Kalakala, Ninad, Karale. So somebody asks, is this the population of India at that time? This is how it is commonly said. And it's modified, isn't it? Asankhya Koti. No, Trinsha, Koti, Kantha. Because he's starting, it's all about divine reality. It starts with Mother Divine. So what is Trinsha, Koti? You start with the three gods. You will end up with Trinsha Koti. It's right from the Upanishads. There are three gods, or you can, or in fact, Yajnavalkya says there are 3 crores, or you can say there are 3,000 or 300 or 3 or 1.5 or 1. That's how it goes. This is okay, again, not found anywhere, so please don't quote me or blame me. Take it or leave it. Does not. But from the Divine Mother, he is not talking of population census. He's an inspired poet. So all these various, all the gods who are in the creation, then he says, Abula kenomaya to baole. All these are, and of course we all can embody these gods and become her instruments. That's the Devasur Sangram. So there is the dream world in which come all of these. And finally, it supports all physical experience, can be taken as the whole field of Maya. And finally, there is the physical world, the gross, outer. That becomes the whole field of Maya. Where does Maya start? From that point where the subtle worlds begin, dream state, and then the physical world. Whole field of Maya. Beyond it, Maya vanishes into the Lord of Maya. And there is yet greater beyond, of which nothing can be said. This is the understanding. And then he explains further, page 467, as a man in deep sleep passes into dreams in which he experiences self-constructed unstable structures of name, form, relations, happenings, and in the waking state externalizes himself in the more apparently stable but yet transient structures of the physical consciousness, so the self develops out of a state of masked consciousness, its subjective and its objective cosmic experience. But the ultimate reality is beyond subjective and objective. But the waking state is not a true waking from the original and causal sleep. This is the example I was taking. Woke is not wake, awake. So this is not the waking, that in the gross physical reality, that the only reality. But the waking state is not a true waking from this original and causal sleep. It is only a full emergence into a gross, external and objective sense of the positive reality of objects of consciousness, as opposed to the subtle subjective dream awareness of these objects. The true waking is a withdrawal from both objective and subjective consciousness and from the massed causal intelligence into the superconscient, superior to all consciousness, for all consciousness and unconsciousness is Maya. So the moment you say consciousness, there is Maya. Consciousness is Maya, the builder of things, the creator of things. It starts from there, builds images, dreams, and finally gross objects, taking help of so many builders. So again, though this Upanishad says that there is one reality which has become all this, but it doesn't solve the problem. It leaves it half solved. It provides a continuity to existence that all this is Brahman. And why this is important? Because there are many people now, you know, no, this is the same thing which is written in, no, we have to wait, be patient. Because if this is all, then there is no logic to further evolution. There is no logic to it. Because this is it. Otherwise, also one can say it's just simply a Maya going on. There is no direction, there is no purpose still. So few lines below. Here there is no actual dichotomy of being itself, but there is a multiplicity of status of the one being. So one same being is seeing himself in different mirrors and seeing himself differently. A famous Bruce Lee movie, his last test is that the man takes him into a chamber where there are mirrors all around, and that same Joker or the opponent is now reflected in all the mirrors. So he tries to break one mirror and he laughs. I think some Hindi movie had also copied this. Then he breaks the second one again. So now he has to catch where is that reality? It's very descriptive of this. You can see this again. Which is the real? So anyways, it's not a movie class. So let's come back to okay. Here there is no actual dichotomy because it's the one self. The images are of the same being. There is no original dual consciousness implying a will in the uncreated to create illusory things out of non-existence. But there is one being in state of superconscience and consciousness, each with its own nature of self-experience. So it's like saying, well, is this image? Yes, it's the image of the same truth. That image of the same truth. So like that, there is one reality expressing itself in countless ways. But that doesn't solve the problem. Because each way is a miniature way. It's not the real experience, ultimate experience of that reality. If you experience the ultimate reality, all this will vanish. This is what has been told. Not so. Surabindu and the mother, that's why we have now the interesting conversation when the mother came and meets Surabindu. She says, I have one question. What is the question? What is this samadhi that people talk about in India where they completely lose consciousness of everything? I have never experienced that. Surabindu laughs and says, nor have I. What is the secret? Oh, they never experienced that. No, what they have experienced comes in another interesting. Several experiences of Sri Aurobindo when he is fully conscious of everything which is going on in the outer environment. That's why those who were working there, though Sri Aurobindo is apparently in his own realm, but mother would say, you know, he is conscious of everything, of every one of you. And once Champaklalji narrates a very interesting story, sweet little story, that mother would often go into her trance and then all of them are like, okay, mother is fine, they can little bit, you know. And then suddenly one day mother comes out of her trance. Comes out is a way of saying, She says, you know, even in my highest self, I am conscious of everything, including the ticking of the clock, your thoughts, your feelings, everything at the same time. This is the original experience of the Chatushpad Brahman. All of them are together. Not like this is lesser or this differentiated. So she has, and of course she has gone beyond. So that samadhi where people become unaware of all this. She says that, nor have I, because the continuity of experience is there. Being is becoming. This is her real experience. Here, there is no actual dichotomy. So this where we had read. The one self sees itself as many, but this multiple existence is subjective. It has a multiplicity of its states of consciousness, but this multiplicity also is subjective. There is a reality of subjective experience of a real being, but no objective universe. This is how it is described at the end. Yes. And then he brings out something very interesting. Okay. It may be noted. It may be noted, however, that nowhere in the Upanishad, because people quote, he says, nowhere in the Upanishads is it actually laid down that the threefold status, fourfold Brahman, but one is nothing can be said, and the threefold status is a condition of illusion or the creation of an unreality. It is constantly affirmed that all this, that is, this universe we are now supposing to have been constructed by Maya, is the Brahman. And that is the meditation with which Sri Aurobindo started his Alipur jail, the famous one-line meditation, which he gives the secret that this was the meditation, the line from the Upanishad, that all this is the Brahman, when he would move between the Gaushala and the where the worker, the prisoners were working. So what was the one line of the Upanishad which he used to meditate upon? Sarva khalu vidam Brahman. All this is the Brahman. The Brihadaranyak. So that's how he is meditating. All this is the Brahman. Not that Brahman is there. Wo dunya mere babul ka ghar. Ye dunya sasural. This all, and we love all this song and create confusion in the minds of women and men both alike. So all this is one reality. Sarva khalvidam. Then of course he went way, way beyond. So on page 468. If we take this fourfold status as a figure of the self passing from its superconscient state where there is no subject or object into a luminous trance in which superconscience becomes a masked consciousness out of which the subjective status of being and the objective cosmic come into emergence, then we get, according to our view of things, either a possible process of illusionary creation or a process of creative self-knowledge and all knowledge. So we can either say one of the two. We can say that all this illusion and this is the process. Or we can say it's a creative self-knowledge. The self has become all this. So he is like playing in countless ways and building objects. And this is described very interestingly in the Bhagavad, in one of the stories. We'll first read the end of this passage, then we'll talk about this story. In this transition, it is possible to be awake to all the states of being together. This is what is mother's experience. Sri Aurobindo's experience. But he is saying only, he is not giving a logical, because he has experienced. It's possible to be awake to all the states of being together in a harmonized and unified experience and to see the reality everywhere in a harmonized experience. Thank you for this mic adjustment. This is exactly what explains There is Pragya sitting there, directing the dream worker and the gross physical body, that you have to lower the mic. It didn't work. But Pragya itself has to draw from that of which nothing can be said. Everywhere there is the same truth. You can discover it anywhere, everywhere. Because this is one self, there is no two. As Aurobindo says, my rivals, downfall. This is such a wonderful line, the one self. My rival's downfall is my own disgrace. I look at my enemy and see Krishna's face. So when I read the poem, I said, kahin ka nahi choda. Kisi se gussa bhi nahi ho sakte ho. Abhi shatru mein bhi gussa, Bhagwan ko Krishna ko dekhna hai. Khel sakte ho gussa, that's okay. Children play. But you cannot be really angry, because who is there? There also it is the one self. In us too, Krishna seeks for joy in bliss. In us too, Shiva wrestles with the world's grief. Hum log nahi hai that we are, you know, some great people bearing the sorrow. Shiva is bearing the sorrow. And who is spreading joy? Krishna. And then he says, but Shiva and Krishna are a single God. Hari Har. See, all this is there in our, but we have to put the pieces together. That's why he said, Mayavad has taken over everything, bulldozed everything. And that's the big problem. So he says, you can be awake in all the realities, that's his own experience. But if we plunge by a trance of exclusive concentration into a mystic sleep state, that's where the samadhi of the nirvikalp, exclusive. Actually, nirvikalp literally means that, if you go to that, there are no seats, nothing. It's like entering into that. So exclusive. You have excluded everything. So if we plunge into a mystic sleep state or pass abruptly in waking mind into a state belonging to the superconscient, then the mind can be seized in the passage by sense of the unreality of the cosmic force and its creations. That if suddenly there is a transition, that's why Bhagwan dhima aaj par sekte, he cooks us nicely, you know. Not like quickly, if you cook, you don't know. So people who go into, they get sometimes very confused when they come out. They can even be angry, because they don't have control over the waking state. Several examples. Go to the samadhi and you feel, wonderful. Lord, you are everything. I wish, and you come out and somebody says, aap thoda weight loss kiya hai kya? Your eyes are looking little yellow. Gross physical, dhadam. So you are dragged into it. So the contrast is such that many times one begins to say, this is an illusion. Because the contrast, such a shock, the intermediary steps, links. Why does Aurobindo speak about layers of mind? Many people say, but ultimately you have to go to supermind. Why you want to? Well, because if you miss the connecting links, the transition will be so abrupt from the rational, normal rational mind, which is a mind of ignorance, that nothing will be understood. That's what happens to people. Why mother is doing this? Why she has done this? How Nalinda once said, when somebody who had not done something apparently wrong, apparently, well, there is no wrong or right divine point of view, somebody complained and the mother said, you go away from here. And the person went and told to Nalinda, but I have not done anything wrong. And mother says, Nalinda says, whatever mother has said, you just do it. This is a grace. You are not understanding it. So if you transit straight from the rational to the supra-rational, you will wonder, because you are still used to the rational. God must have a reason. So what is reason, say? Right and wrong. So this is punishment for wrong. This is how mind operates. So the moment it goes into supra-rational, it cannot understand this world. But if you go step by step, you understand, because you have gone through the process. when a child grows into an adult, so what happens? Papa, mama are very angry with the child, every mistake. What does the grandpa does? It's his job description. Are tu bhi aisa tha? Why? Because he has gone through that. He understands that this fellow has a potential. He knows actually he is better than my useless son. And if he can do something, he will surely do something. So this is where you have to go to the complete truth. Suddenly if you pass, there is such a transition. You, when you go through adulthood, go through the challenges, that's why when you see, you know, sometimes you go to one of the problem, if you have not seen child growing up, when you see a child grow up, then many things, during that time you have gone through the stress, and later on you can say, "Arey, hota hai, bachche log karte hai na, theek ho jayega." Gone through that process. Otherwise you are shocked, you know, this is happening, this is bad, this is horrible. So that's why the slow process of emergence. So he's describing all this here. If we take the fourfold status as figure of the self, in this transition, it is possible to be awake to all the states of being. But if we plunge by a trance of exclusive concentration into a mystic sleep state, or pass abruptly in waking mind into a state belonging to the superconscient, then the mind can be seized in the passage by a sense of the unreality of the cosmic force and its creations. It passes by a subjective abolition of them into the supreme superconscious. So what is he saying? He's saying all these subjective states are the rungs of the ladder. So that's why mother could give the experience like this. She says this to Amrita. Oh, you're reading Brahman. I can give this experience like this. And she goes and they are all projected into Brahman. And then she comes and sees they are all in their Sachidananda and brings them down. I can give you this experience like this, but we are not here for that. And we see this used to happen, that it gets totally disconnected, disoriented. It's like transporting you on a plane to Mount Everest or a helicopter. You'll die of asphyxiation. You won't enjoy the delight. So everywhere the same thing applies. Therefore, there are the rungs, subjective states through which we climb to that. So we come from the objective, go into the dream state slowly, 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 and ultimately we climb. Then we come back and we realize, because all this is a single unity. All these and other solutions of the nature of Maya fail to satisfy. Even this is not satisfying. Beautiful. Because they have no conclusiveness, they do not establish the inevitability of the illusionist hypothesis, which, to be accepted, needs to be inevitable. They do not bridge the chasm between the presumed true nature of the eternal reality and the paradoxical and contrary character of the cosmic illusion. This is the problem. All this is Brahman, everything. But why he started the game? Okay, he started the game, he wants to play a game, he's free to play the game. But what a game! Looks like a horror game sometimes. Unless you know all the rules and coordinates and you are an expert, suddenly you end up in the middle of the play field with 22 players kicking you. Which side of the goal? You say, what is this? Where am I? You're not enjoying. So that's what we have to understand, the connecting things. Next page and we'll stop. Page 470. The theory of the cosmic illusion gets rid of an original contradiction, a problem and mystery which may be otherwise solvable. What is the original contradiction? World and Brahman. So what does cosmic illusion say? This is illusion. That's it. There is no problem to be solved. That is the only reality. All your problems, your imaginations, thinking, all this is no truth. It's the play of your mind. Come out of the mind, that's it. Very difficult, no? Is that situation. You still want to, sir, but why? Okay, blame it on karma. Again, sir, what karma? You are asking too much question. Meditate, you will understand. Meditation is like a stick used by, you know, ultimately... तो मूर्ख है तो समझ जाएगा जब बन जाएगा सो डोंट क्वेश्चन So it gets rid of a contradiction by erecting another contradiction. A new problem and mystery which is irreconcilable in its terms and insoluble. Up till now we were thinking why the world is the way it is and divine is all Sachidananda. Now there is another problem, there is no world. Shivoham, Shivoham, Sachidanandoham. Now, have we solved the problem? No. We have created another problem. Why are we experiencing it the way I am experiencing it when it is unreal? So he is putting it. For we start with the conception or experience of an absolute reality, which is in its nature eternally one, supracosmic, static, immobile, immutable, self-aware of its pure existence and phenomena of cosmos, dynamism, motion, mutability, modification of the original pure existence, differentiated, infinite multiplicity. This phenomena is got rid of by declaring it to be a perpetual illusion, Maya. But this brings to its effect a self-contradictory dual status of consciousness of the one to annul a self-contradictory dual status of being of the one. So being of the one means Sachidananda. There is only one. Consciousness means a consciousness in which he is experiencing himself as one. And the other is he is experiencing himself as money, which is an illusion. So both ways you end up with one contradiction by another contradiction. So we'll stop here. May sound to some like a mental exercise, but it's very wonderful, amazing, like a cosmic riddle. And if it's even as an exercise, it's so good, because one thing I can say, that those who read the Life Divine and dwell upon it, you can argue anybody for anything because your mental faculties blossom. It takes, so if nothing else, at least to develop the mind, to make it a good instrument. That's one of the things, you know, children here, students here, you know, where they get such a argument faculty because they have Life Divine in their course. After that, you can argue with them only if you have read Life Divine and Savitri. Otherwise, you can't argue. You have to have both. So, okay, we'll continue tomorrow this wonderful journey of the Life Divine. Jai Ma.